Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gregory Copley of Defense and Foreign Affairs. He is in Perth, Australia, and we're going to get to the Australian election soon enough. But right now, we're bogged down, as the Russians appear to be bogged down, in Ukraine and asking questions about the air component of the Russian military. Not much in the news. The Russians are using artillery, standoff missiles, sometimes fired from the Black Sea, sometimes from the Caspian Sea, sometimes from deployments around the large cities. They also are using rotary winged aircraft, although those are very vulnerable to the shoulder fired anti-air systems that have been deployed into Ukraine. And then there is the S-300. Gregory, I come to the S-300 because it's so famous as a predicate for the S-400 and other long-range air defense systems. The Russians certainly knew that if the war was not quick, and they knew that within the first weeks, that the possibility was that they're going to be up against their own anti-air capabilities in the hands of the Ukrainians. Are they shy about their own S-300? Because my understanding from reading is the way that the U.S. and its allies would defeat it is to go after the radar, to destroy all the, to blind it, to blind the anti-air, and then to do nothing in a major way on the ground until all the anti-air was destroyed. Are the Russians capable of that?
The Russians are capable of it, and as General Myros' analysis shows, they're capable of it, but have not attempted to employ that capability from their air-based anti-radiation capabilities. They used the Sukhoi 35 flankers against some air targets and had some losses there, this advanced aircraft, largely because they were not coordinated enough in their approach. So basically, the Russians have said, well, we don't need to have total air superiority to achieve our strategic objectives, but they do need to protect their helicopter assets, which are going in, and that's where the losses are greatest. So you're seeing significant losses of Mil 8 and Mil 24 family of assault helicopters. So those are where the great Russian air power losses are occurring. The belief is that the Russians are now moving to contain their conflict to achieve their strategic objectives, because one thing's for sure, the Ukrainian forces really understand that now that the Russians are only going after Donbass, areas around the east, and the linkage down to Crimea. So the Russians may have to engage in some other feints in order to pull back the Ukrainian forces from the east, and that will probably be when the Russians make some assault attempts against Odessa, the Black Sea port, which they probably would not intend to follow up with an occupation, but basically to make sure that it's suffering sufficiently that it distracts Ukrainian forces, and then having some uprising in Transnistria on Ukraine's southwestern flank, so that the Ukrainians would start to see that the Russians could get a land position in Transnistria, again, further isolating Ukraine.
The surveillance aircraft, the intelligence gathering aircraft, the Navy, the Air Force have very sophisticated large aircraft deployed along the edges of Ukraine, flying over what I'm told is NATO airspace. However, we have reason to believe that those aircraft have side-looking ability, and certainly these last days, one of the most surprising details has been on the front page of the New York Times to learn that the U.S. wanted everyone to know that it was responsible for targeting the warships in the Black Sea that Ukrainian missiles have attacked, and one was sunk, the Moskva, the other one I can't say the fate of, but it certainly reported damaged. The also the NATO surveillance aircraft are along all the border regions of Poland and around Ukraine, giving real-time intelligence to whoever wants it. Do the Russians have a way of defeating that or blunting it? I puzzled, did they prepare for the fact that after the first weeks, the intelligence gathering of NATO was going to be a factor?
They must have prepared for that because they witnessed it with the U.S. giving AWACS surveillance support to the Turkish Air Force when it was attacking Russian Air Force assets in northern Syria. So they know that this is a U.S. pattern. They know that it would have applied to the Ukraine situation equally. And there's not a lot that they can do about it other than to attempt to blind any surveillance attempts. And that's very, very difficult in this situation. The Russians did, the big loss, of course, was the Moskva. Yes, the US said that it provided surveillance information to the Ukrainians about that. I'm not sure the Ukrainians needed that additional support from AWACS aircraft from the US, but certainly wouldn't have hurt. But the reality was that everyone knew where the Moskva was, pretty much, and that the Ukrainians were then using their own surveillance and distraction techniques, using the Bayraktar TB2 drones, the UAVs, to simulate an attack on the bow of the Moskva, distracting it while it was hit on the port side by the Neptune anti-ship missiles, which were shore-based.
What we're looking at then is a possible long conflict. Is there something to watch for in the air component of the Russian military that they have not tried yet? Is there an element that could be improved, or that once it's on the battlefield, it will oblige NATO and Ukraine to change its expectations?
Well, the reality is, I think that the Russians are close to achieving some of the key strategic goals, which is the locking up control of the Donbass and other areas. So I think that part means that we actually might see a shorter operation from the Russian Air Force than most Western analysts expect. Now, the Ukrainians are not about to be able to field any really sophisticated air power against the Russian Air Force. And so there is, in a sense, a limited air war underway anyway, so that the air war is going to be far less than the West expected. And just because the West was expecting a major conventional air war doesn't mean that one is going to happen. And it may not be necessary given the limited ranges of targeting involved, which lend themselves to artillery rather than to armor or to air power.
Gregory Copley is the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. He is in Perth, Australia, which is to be the centerpiece of a plan going forward in this century called AUKUS, Australia, the US, and the UK. The immediate at hand, however, is an election in Australia that in part turns on foreign affairs to do with the Solomon Islands, just north of Australia. When we come back, the election in Australia and what is to be done. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info, and if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.